Now for agribusiness news, markets, and weather from Studio C, this is Agriculture Today.
Most of the nation's corn growers have been able to plant their crop at a blistering pace this spring, far faster than normal. However,
for the first time this year, U.S. corn planting has fallen behind the average pace.
USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey says all that severe weather this past week across the Midwest put a halt to a lot of field work in a lot of places. For example,
we are now seeing significant delays compared to average in states like Nebraska, 31% of the corn planted versus 48% on average.
So nationally, producers have 36% of their corn planted. That's down from the average of 39%, down from last year's 42%. Meanwhile, we have 12% of the crop emerged. That's a little ahead of average and ahead of this time a year ago. Gary Crawford, Washington.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
For what purpose does a gentlewoman from Georgia seek recognition?
And of Rule 9, I seek recognition to give notice of my intent to raise the question of the privileges of the House. The form of the resolution is as follows. Declaring the office of Speaker of the House Representatives to be vacant.
The House will be in order. Gentlewoman's recognized.
Georgia Republican Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene on Wednesday adding a bit of drama back into the House of Representatives.
Resolved that the office of the Speaker of the House of Representatives is hereby declared to be vacant.
For what purpose does a gentleman from Louisiana seek recognition?
Mr. Speaker, I have a motion at the desk.
The clerk will report the motion.
Mr. Scalise of Louisiana moves to lay the resolution on the table.
The question is on the motion offered by the gentleman from Louisiana. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. On this vote, the yeas are 359, the nays are 43, with 7 answering present. The motion is adopted. Without objection, the motion to reconsider is laid on the table.
And on that vote, Congress decides to move forward. After spending half a week back in January trying to elect a speaker, which at the time was Kevin McCarthy, he was ousted, and then the House spent 3 weeks in late October trying to elect Speaker Johnson. The motion to table means Johnson remains Speaker of the House.
Throughout my professional lifetime, we routinely heard of our weekly harvest mix in the beef industry having about 1% to 2% of all of our cattle reaching the quality grade of prime.
It's Oklahoma State Extension Beef Cattle Breeding Specialist, Dr. Mark Johnson, on producers improving beef marbling.
The prime is the highest quality grade for the young maturity groups of beef cattle. It indicates the highest level of tenderness, juiciness, and flavor, and guarantees the greatest insurance policy for eating satisfaction for those of cooked beef. It's a great news story that in the last few years, we routinely see 8 to 10% of our weekly harvest mix that is reaching the prime quality grade. It means more people are satisfied with their eating experience. It's more premiums in the pocket of those that are finishing out cattle. And it is truly a success story and evidence of what we can accomplish whenever we put selection pressure on a highly heritable trait like marbling. If we look at the genetic trend data in most of our beef breeds, we see a really high increase in the additive genetic merit of beef breeds for the trait of marbling. And it is obvious that producers and cattle breeders have responded to the market signals and improving this highly economically important trait. Bottom line, marbling, beef quality grade, is the primary thing that influences the value of a beef carcass. This is a good news story for our industry. I congratulate the cattle breeders on what we've accomplished. As we move forward, and we're now pretty consistent several years into this, we can attribute a lot of this to the additive genetic merit improvement for marbling. It's true, we are finishing cattle to heavier weights and feeding them a little bit longer, but that has permitted us to fully tap the genetic potential of cattle to marble. If that genetic potential wasn't there, we wouldn't be able to tap it by taking them to heavier weights.
It's Agriculture Today.
My mom's got a new Case IH tractor, and it can do it all. Bale hay all day. See in the dark with its powerful LED lights. Hook up all the implements. Shift like a race car. Steer with ease. And it can also cool my juice box. Yeah, her Case IH tractor can do everything she needs it to.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
This is Agriculture Today.
How many of you remember a little while back, I think it was S&P, or was it Moody's? Maybe Moody's. Downgraded U.S. debt. We've had two downgrades. Of the three large rating agencies, we've been downgraded twice.
Arizona Republican David Schweikert on the floor of the House continuing to ring the bell on debt.
Now, I know every member of Congress and all of our staff read every word of it. But if you actually read it, there's an entire report about why they would downgrade U.S. debt. Now, it was more of a downgrade of future horizon. One of the number one reasons on that downgrade was governance. Now, the fact of the matter is the debt picture's off the charts. I'm going to show one here where I think we've now had our fourth day in the last couple of weeks where we went over $100,000 a second borrowing. But do you screw with your bankers? Because this is my passion, trying to convince our brothers and sisters here in Congress, you got to act like an adult. Have fights here. Actually, know your math. Bend the cost of government. But don't do stupid things and then turn around. Because this week, understand, this week, I believe the Treasury is going to market for like $125 billion. Our interest rates are actually slightly down this week compared to last week. But the fact those interest rates bounce up and down this much lets you know sort of how nervous the debt markets are. Remember, 2 weeks ago, lots of the fancy financial markets were writing stories about U.S. debt is getting harder to sell. This week, it looks like it's easier to sell. That fragility, and I know that's a big word, but it's the only one I have for this. Don't play a game here. We will pay $1.2 trillion in interest this year. Interest of the United States in this fiscal year will be the second biggest expense in government. Social Security will be $1.45 trillion. Interest will be $1.2 trillion. Medicare, almost a trillion. Defense, $960, $980. Think of that. Defense is now the fourth biggest expense in government, no longer the first or second. And part of that concept is, this one's a little more for those folks that like to think of themselves as sort of monetary policy folks. Think about what the Federal Reserve has been trying to do. They've been raising interest rates. They've been pulling liquidity. They've been holding back on buying bonds, doing just the opposite, letting their portfolio roll off. They're trying to pull liquidity out of society to squeeze inflation out. But this place has actually made that much harder to do. Besides the craziness of how much we spent in the Inflation Reduction Act, singularly the most Orwellian named piece of legislation in modern history, you do realize, I was in the cloakroom a moment ago trying to do this math sort of off the top of my head. I think it's like $2.8 billion a day that we pay in interest. The U.S. government pays to bondholders every day. So here's what you have. We're borrowing about $8.5 billion a day. We're paying out $2.8 billion a day in interest. The question is government borrowing really good for productivity in the society? Does government borrowing actually make us a wealthier society, a more prosperous society? Now, look, some borrowing is historic. You're going to do that. But the scale we're consuming, we are consuming much of the world's liquidity, not just the United States. United States and China are the two big economies right now binging on debt. Europe actually has dialed back its debt. Remember, I did the presentation last week. I think there were 13 countries that had better credit ratings than the United States. Greece today has a better credit rating than the United States. Their 10-year bond is cheaper, lower in interest costs than the U.S. And much of that risk premium is governance.
It's Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
You hear that? That's the sound of forever. Because there's nowhere else you'd rather spend forever than on land like this. Tending a herd, growing crops, raising a family. At Capital Farm Credit, we thrive at helping the next generation of farmers and ranchers like yourself by providing advice, products, and opportunities to help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
I would describe the futures markets as still pretty much taking in for the fall harvested crops that are coming, spring planted, fall harvested, just taking in a generally good paces of planting.
Kansas State grain economist Dr. Dan O'Brien on where the markets are right now.
Again, for the U.S., for soybeans, we're 18% planted, 5-year average is 10. For corn, we're 27% planted, the average is 22. And for Kansas, we're also ahead of pace. So crops getting in so far, and some of those areas delayed a little bit by rain. That's not a big concern. Again, here in very, very early May. So overall, the market, as it stands right now, if the crop gets going, gets up, that we don't have a lot of concerns at the moment. Our concerns really in the markets probably come later on when we look at some underlying dry soils, particularly in the central and eastern Corn Belt, and some of the forecasts that are out there that hold the potential for some pretty dry conditions.
Every day we see headlines that are weather related. Are those working their way in the markets?
The concern that's been being voiced has been not so much short run here, but once we see the transition from the what we call an El Nino type condition to an ENSO neutral, dealing with southern oscillations and all sorts of weather terms, that transition is likely to happen during April and June. But then the developing La Nina condition heading out into July, August, September, right during, again, in July, pollination, flowering, pod setting, start a pod set for soybeans out into August, and then just fill for both of those on into September. You have a, in essence, trust, reliable, credible ag meteorologists stating that, hey, there's some concerns out there. And obviously the markets, as we look at them, they're not corn and soybeans. They're not hopping higher, expressing much of that volatility. I think they're in very much more of a, I guess, a myopic view of what's right in front of them. We'll deal with that risk and uncertainty when it comes. So you really don't see a lot of that expression about major crop worry coming in yet. But these will be the things that we look at daily, weekly, monthly from now through June, July, and August. We had a webinar earlier in the week out of K-State. It's one of our Winning the Game Wet webinars. And one of those attending asked the question, well, will we have our normal May, June highs in the grain markets? And this year that for futures, for corn and soybean futures. And my thought was that, you know, given the warning flags being raised about later in the summer, I would not be surprised that the highs we would have if we get any risk, any actual fulfillment of some of those projections, highs probably would be later in the summer, more July and August. And of course, those with new crop bids, they can wait on that generally. But for old crop, that's a challenge because do we hold old crop grain in storage for corn? If people still have soybeans, they have some wheat, some sorghum, do they still hold that waiting for that potential of a weather driven rally out there in the summer? And probably financial needs to drive them to sell ahead of that, except for whatever. Whatever they can afford to hold on for the long term.
It's Agriculture Today.
Do you have equipment taking up space in your shed or on your lot? What do you do if those pieces are really big? Ever wondered their value? Purple Wave Auction is an online auction company that sells used equipment. Thousands of items are up for bid right now at purplewave.com. Our transparent auction process makes it easy to sell that Kenworth semi you have sitting behind the barn. Or how about an upgrade to your New Holland Workmaster? Take a moment and check out purplewave.com. Purple Wave Auction, straight, simple, sold.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
Well, I'm kind of excited.
Tom Sell is manager of Combest Sell & Associates. He's also a co-founder, along with former chairman of the House Ag Committee, Larry Combest.
I'm glad you mentioned the name Combest. Larry Combest, of course, served honorably for, was elected to 10 terms, was chair of the Ag Committee. Kind of the peak, the culmination of his work was, one, a crop insurance rewrite in 2000 in the O2 Farm Bill, which really kind of restored the safety net under the Freedom to Farm concept. And really, we've been living off that Farm Bill since that time. And one great thing about that Farm Bill is it allowed for dynamic change within the U.S. agricultural industry. But certainly, I think when you look at this Farm Bill, perhaps to the greatest extent since that O2 Farm Bill was done, there's just a call from the countryside and a need to kind of update some of the measures of when support is needed from the federal government. Obviously, we've spent more than $75 billion in ad hoc kind of in addition to the Farm Bill's type of spending since the 18 Farm Bill was passed. So that's kind of a proof and a verdict that the 18 Farm Bill didn't meet all the needs of the rural economy and support it the way that members of Congress wanted to. And so really the goal of this Farm Bill is to kind of take that ad hoc spending and build it into better, more reliable, more fair programs that are going to support the infrastructure and support the industry going forward as this hungry world continues to grow. So to meet the needs of the future.
But after all the drama in this Congress, can we really get a farm bill passed?
Well, I've been the one guy saying, I don't know if I'm the one guy, but I guess I'm known for kind of being a wild-eyed optimist at times. Sometimes I do that just to keep hope alive when other people are kind of, heaping dead bodies onto the wagon. It reminds me of that old movie where the body's like, I'm not quite dead yet. I tend to be the voice of those who want to keep the hope alive. But I really think the prospects are good for this year.
But at this point, it's up to Congress to get a farm bill passed. So what can producers be doing in the meantime?
First and foremost, the honest answer is do what you do well, because it's so critically important to our nation. But it is important for everyone, citizens of all types, to get engaged in kind of civic organizations, grassroots organizations that help to tell the story, right? So not every farmer has time to fly off to Washington, D.C. and exercise their First Amendment right. That's why they have groups like the Farm Bureau or the Southwest Council of Agribusiness or the Plains Cotton Growers or the Midwest Corn Growers. You know, those kind of organizations, those kind of grassroots organizations are so incredibly important in this debate. There are plenty of pundits out there that raise money and engage in these fights from Washington, D.C., largely using scare tactics, right, to raise funds, to say we're going to fight some fight that people don't really understand. But in our modern days of crowdsource funding and that kind of stuff, scare tactics tend to work pretty well. And so I think ag has the advantage because these are bona fide, credible organizations that speak for those that are truly members and representative of what they're doing. But that's why it's so very important, even these days, to be really engaged wherever you can give the time and the resources to be a part of those organizations that are out in Washington, D.C. and in state capitals all over the nation, doing the work of representing this kind of incredibly important grassroots sector of our economy that is agriculture.
It's Agriculture Today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
This is Agriculture Today.
It's the belief saying, oh, the United States is going to use its tools to bend inflation. The United States is going to do the things necessary to actually lower its debt and borrowing. Are we?
Arizona Republican Representative David Schweikert sounding the warning bell on U.S. debt.
Because you see the conversations we have around here, most of the time these microphones are full of people coming up with new programs and new ways to spend money. So first is, you need to actually have a government that convinces the bond markets that we're serious, we respect our creditors. Let's be honest, you borrow a bunch of money, you don't go in to your creditor and make a clown of yourself. And we need to do the same. And the second half is understand the economic mess we're doing. It's more than just the borrowing. It's the fact that you've pulled capital out of the markets that would have gone to more productive uses. And at the same time, then we're paying interest. Now we're paying interest that in some ways is higher than people who said, why would I take a risk premium and invest in something, a new plant, a new equipment, a new widget maker, those sorts of things. When I can get, 5% on a 2-year, I'm going to do that. The scale of our debt is creating economic distortion. And it's just a concept we need to understand that also in some ways, Congress, and this always drives people who believe it's Fed and liquidity, but in many ways, Congress, because of our borrowing, has actually created this liquidity cycle where we borrow and then we're pumping out interest. We borrow it and then we're giving you almost, a premium on the interest rate and we're paying you out. It's a real problem. And in many ways, we've made the Federal Reserve job even more difficult, squeezing inflation out. And almost no one has actually spent time on that. There's a couple of good academic articles if you want to geek out. All right. We use this chart over and over and over because we're trying to help people understand. Do you see the blue? The blue is what we get to vote on. You do understand every dime a member of Congress votes on is borrowed and part of this. So interest, this number is wrong now. Interest, if you do a gross interest, is 1.2. Publicly borrowed interest is probably, it may be somewhere near that, $890, $900 billion. But this is interest. This is Social Security. This is Medicare. This is Medicaid. This is other mandatory programs. These are earned benefits. You work your 40 quarters, you get your maximum Social Security. You work so much, you get Medicare. But I need you also to be willing to hear some very difficult math of how Medicare is actually financed to understand its impact on the debt and deficit. There are other benefits out there that are in the formula. You get because we have a treaty obligation with you for some of our Native American populations. You fall below a certain income. You get certain subsidies, those sorts of things. Those are also considered mandatory programs. But the point here is the vast majority of U.S. spending, your member of Congress, never, ever, ever gets to vote on. And we need to change that. We need to start telling the truth that we're hemorrhaging cash. And at these interest rates, you've got to understand what we're doing to your retirement and your kids' futures. So let's actually walk through. I just do this board. You can actually go to my website and sign up. There's a little thing there you sign up for. Give us your phone number. We'll send you a text message every single day called the Daily Debt. We've been doing this for several months now. You get a little text that says, here's what we borrowed today. Here's what the gross borrowing is. We do the last 365 days, or this year, 366 days because of leap year. And over here, we do the fiscal year. When you look here at the total gross, now remember, that's borrowing from the trust funds as well as publicly issued. We've now gone 4 days in the last couple of weeks where we went over $100,000 a second. A second. And for anyone there that has a relative who doesn't believe the debt's a big deal, sign them up. Send us their phone number. We'll send them a text message every day. And they can start to understand the scale of how much of this U.S. economy now is in debt.
It's Agriculture Today.
You hear that? That's the sound of forever. Because there's nowhere else you'd rather spend forever than on land like this. Tending a herd, growing crops, raising a family. At Capital Farm Credit, we thrive at helping the next generation of farmers and ranchers like yourself by providing advice, products, and opportunities to help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
The Cotton Board is a quasi-governmental organization. We were established by federal statute back in 1966 to collect assessments from cotton producers, and now we collect assessments also from the cotton content on imported products, and those assessments are used to fund the Cotton Research and Promotion Program.
Bill Gillen is president and CEO of the Cotton Board, and where do they get their members?
We do have board members. We have producer members from every cotton-producing state, and we have members who represent importers or users of cotton downstream. All of those people are nominated either on the importer side by an importer organization and on the producer side by usually regional cotton associations.
Now, members of the Cotton Board hold a meeting 4 times every year.
We recently had what I'm going to refer to it as our spring meeting, which is our first meeting of the year. We onboard our new members. We had at least one new member from Texas this year, for example. So we bring them into this first meeting. We do an orientation session with them to teach them about what the Cotton Board does, what Cotton Incorporated does, and what our role is in the industry. And like you said, our members are responsible for providing their insight and their opinions, you know, as to the level of program funding, what the program's priorities should be, and, you know, how best to manage the program. And a certain portion of this board rotates every year. Once you're appointed to our board, like I said, we host a robust orientation program, and we want everyone to be fully up to speed on what the research and promotion program is doing, and we want them to fully participate. Our second priority at the spring meeting is to develop broad recommendations for Cotton Incorporated to implement, you know, the next program year. So we're in the spring of 2024, and we're thinking about the 2025 budget and the programs that will be operated and implemented that year. We develop formal recommendations from the spring meeting, and we submit them to Cotton Incorporated. And we actually just wrapped up a high-level strategic planning meeting with Cotton Incorporated between the two board's officers. And we had more in-depth conversations about those recommendations and how Cotton Incorporated plans to move forward going into 2025.
And once a month, they communicate with producers via Cotton and Coffee.
The staff here came up with that. They just thought about what growers like to do. You know, during times there's not a pandemic, they like to, if they can, go to the coffee shop and talk to their peers in the morning. So they kind of took that idea and turned it into a monthly, you know, virtual coffee shop, essentially. They set it up with one expert from Cotton Incorporated or somewhere else. They talk for about 30 minutes on a specific subject about what the program is doing, and the group that listens to them can ask questions at the end of it. And so it's a way, you know, to take up a little bit less than an hour of somebody's time, as they say, in about the length of time it takes to drink a couple of cups of coffee, to really dig deep into some of the more specific areas about what the research and promotion program is doing. We've had sessions on soil health, on consumer preferences. I think the one next month is going to be on entomology. So it's really great. The response from the industry has been fantastic. I think we started with about 80 average viewers the first year, and that quickly went to 120, and now we're just about to buck 200 average viewers every month. That's great. We want to grow it more. And also, every one of those episodes is taped. So you can go to YouTube and view the episode if you want to. So you can look back on past ones.
It's Agriculture Today,
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
Do you have equipment taking up space in your shed or on your lot? What do you do if those pieces are really big? Ever wondered their value? Purple Wave Auction is an online auction company that sells used equipment. Thousands of items are up for bid right now at purplewave.com. Our transparent auction process makes it easy to sell that Kenworth semi you have sitting behind the barn. Or how about an upgrade to your New Holland Workmaster? Take a moment and check out purplewave.com. Purple Wave Auction, straight, simple, sold.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
We now have complete ag trade numbers for the first half of this fiscal year, October through March. And
it's a mixed bag depending on which numbers you're looking at.
Always is. For example, USDA economist Bart Kenner says the value of U.S. ag exports is running 6% below this time a year ago, with larger declines for some products. However, if you look at the volume of sales, different story.
Major bulk products are up 3% from last year in terms of volume. In terms of value, they're down 19% from last year. So we're seeing a big unit value decrease that is affecting the overall total export value, while we are continuing to increase volumes of those bulk exports.
Wheat shipments are running 5% higher than a year ago, cotton up 8%, corn up 36%. Gary Crawford, Washington.